Welcome to the Arran Church podcast, where our mission is bringing life to everyone, everywhere, every day. Each podcast episode features the latest talk from our church, which are released weekly. We're passionate about Jesus, love to worship together, and are committed to changing our community for the better. Connect with us at arranchurch.com.
I feel like the introduction to my talk has been done brilliantly by Bex, which is exciting. I love it when a children's talk and an adult talk literally line up. I mean, I could just leave it there with what Bex said. That's basically what I'm going to say. So that was a summary of the talk. So I'm speaking to you this morning, as Bex said, on where do I belong? And with this subject, there's so many different avenues you could go down. You can go down the kind of psychology route, social route. You can talk about, you know, your impact on other people and things like that. And I will touch on a few of those things a little bit. But really, as Bex spoke about, really what we're talking about this morning is the prodigal son and where do we truly belong. And so I've spent a long time kind of looking at the psychology behind it, and there's so many different things, and I was going to bring some of that this morning, but really that's another whole subject. So what I'm going to do is, if you're interested in any resources, come and chat to me at the end, because there's some great resources out there. I can point you to books, I can point you to a course run by Safe Families that Pippa Harsent works for that she shared, which is excellent, but I'm not going to speak to you about that this morning. I don't feel like that's what is on my heart. I don't feel like that is what we're really going to be thinking about this morning. But I will start off with a C.S. Lewis quote. It's a great place to start, isn't it? A C.S. Lewis quote. I was listening to, on Audible, a book, C.S. Lewis Reflections on the Psalms, this week, and the beginning. And in his intro, this is his intro to the book, and I loved it because this is how I feel every time I do a talk. And I'm not C.S. Lewis, so imagine that. Okay, he says, "This is not a work of scholarship." He's talking about his book. I'm talking about my talk. "This is not a work of scholarship. I am no Hebraist, no higher critic, no ancient historian, no archaeologist, and for me, no psychologist. I write for the unlearned, don't be offended, about things in which I am unlearned myself." I love that. So it made me really smile, and that's how I feel every time I get up to speak, because I look out and some of you have got such wisdom and such knowledge and understanding much, much greater than my own. But I'm with you, fellow pilgrim, on the journey to know God more and to learn more about him and to get closer to the Father and know the Father's heart. So this is how we journey together this morning. So if I say something not quite correct, forgive me. If you want any information about stuff, come and find me at the end. But what better place to start at the beginning than at the beginning? A very good place to start. I won't sing as Mikey didn't dance. I won't sing. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. This is the very beginning. God's created earth and he's created it. And then it says this: "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God said," and this is verse 18, I'm jumping now, a different version as well, in Genesis 2, verse 18, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good, beneficial for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him.'" So God, right from the start, starts life with this beautiful, intimate act of breathing life into the man's nostrils. How intimate is that? God's breath entered the man, and he took his first breath in the most intimate way possible. There was an immediate intimacy between God the Father and Adam. An immediate intimacy in that moment where life was given. And then God put Adam somewhere. So we're thinking of belonging this morning. The belonging in that place of intimacy with God. And then God places Adam in a place and says, kind of says, "You belong, this is where you're going to go, this is where you're going to put your roots, this is where you're going to grow, in the Garden of Eden." So Adam from the start has this connection with God, intimate connection, and this place where he belongs, and he's placed. And in that place, God then makes animals to be Adam's companion. And Adam for a while, and God and the animals, and they walk around, Adam and God, naming the animals together in this beautiful relationship, this intimate relationship. And then God says, "You know, the animals are brilliant company, and they're great, but that's not enough for you. It's not good for you to be on your own. God didn't create us to be on our own. He created woman and he created them to be together. God created us to live in community with one another and in relationship with one another right from the beginning. And these three concepts then, that we are born with a need for intimate connection. In any psychological look or social look about this, we're born with a need, not just a want, a desire, or something pleasant, nice feeling. We're born with a need for these things, this intimate connection. It's there, like this food and water and physical safety. And then next comes the need for belonging and love that's in us. It's innate, this desire for that connection. And we need a place to belong. So people that we belong with, a place to live and a community to live in. So we have a place that we belong. And we're created with this need for relationship with others. As God pointed out right from the start, belonging is something that is right in the heart of who we are. So we can't ignore it. We can't just ignore it and pretend that, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's such an important part of who we are. It's belonging. So I thought I'd take you on a little journey down memory lane for me to think about the subject of belonging. So I was born in 1977. I'm 46 before it takes you a while to work out that. Born in 1977. And I was born on the west coast of Scotland. And when I was about 3 months old, we moved to the southeast of Scotland to the borders. And my dad, and we've got a slide with him on it, there he is. There's Bob Scott, who's over there, has a younger man there. My dad was a farmer, and his job was a cattleman, and he looked after the cows and looked after the farm. And so we lived in the countryside on the farm, and this is the kind of landscape that we had. And you know what, I'm very blessed that we had a wonderful childhood. Mum and Dad are great parents, and they gave us a great start. And they chose to move out of the city when my sister was young, because they wanted to give us a life living in the countryside on the farm. And so this is where we lived, and we had a great time. Not suggesting everything was perfect all the time, don't get me wrong, it wasn't. But there I am, stroking a sheep, belonging to the animals, kind of a bit like Adam. I probably gave it a name. There we are. And that one, the top on that side, that's in an igloo. We were snowed in for 2 weeks once, and couldn't go to school for 2 weeks, boys and girls. 2 weeks of snow days. And my dad made us an igloo in the snow. And there we are. We used to regularly go down to the river, even in the Scottish summers and springs and autumns. That's why I like swimming in the sea now, even in the cold. And there we are, just outside the house in the beautifully tended garden by my mum, playing hide and seek. There, my brother and sister. Now I had it, and then the next slide shows our home. This was our home. For the first 8 years of my life, this is where we lived. And it was an incredible place to live. I loved it. We had a lot of fun. My brother and sister and I had a lot of freedom. We would roam around the countryside, making up games. I think I was the youngest. Well, I was the youngest. But they used to pick on me a little bit and tease me. But that was all part of that relationship. And we had a lot of fun together. Now, as much as Mum and Dad did a great job of protecting us when we were children, you know, there was a time my dad's health wasn't so great, and the house came with the job, and Dad needed to change jobs, and so we moved. And so when I was about eight, we moved from here, from the farm, which was all I'd ever known and absolutely loved, and we moved into the town where my school was, and that's where we moved to there. And then the next picture will show... This was me back in the farmhouse, good old early 80s party. There I am in the red flowery dress with a little hairband in. And next to me there with the long blonde hair is a friend called Leslie. Now, my surname that time was Scott, and Leslie's surname was Scott. Not everyone in Scotland's surname is Scott. I'll just point that out. And we used to pretend we were cousins. And we had this, we weren't best friends necessarily, but we had this lovely relationship where we would pretend we were cousins and we would have a lot of fun together. Now, really sadly, about a year after we moved house, my dear, dear friend Leslie was hit by a car after school one day, and she died. And at that point, that was the first really, really deeply painful moment of my life. And I remember just not believing that God could let that happen, and not believing that this was even possible that it would happen. And I remember distinctly lying in my bed. I remember the toy I was holding. I remember the pajamas I was wearing. And I remember lying there sobbing long after everyone else had gone to bed, and crying, and just crying out to God, because I knew him from a young age, just crying, God, going, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. And just repeatedly crying that out. And I think I was reflecting on this with the talk. I'm thinking, should I tell this story? What's relevance in this story, really? But that cry for home in my heart, I was still with my mum and dad, my siblings. I had a nice home. We were happy. But something in that moment of absolute pain, my heart cried for this concept of home, this concept. And for me, that was represented by our life on the farm. But there was this cry out. And then for subsequent years, when things happened, I would find myself saying to God, I want to go home. I want to go home. And what does that mean? But then we're talking about the prodigal son, aren't we? We're talking about his return home. And as Bex pointed out, where we truly belong is with God. And that is our home. So even at the age of 8, in my crying out to God, there was something in me that went, I want to go back. I want to be home, God, with you, where it's safe and I'm loved, and this hasn't happened. This horrible thing hasn't happened. But you know what? God walks with us in those moments of pain, and he was with me then in that. And you know, we can't in life, sadly, as we know, we can't protect ourselves from things happening. We can't stop different circumstances and different things around us changing and moving on. And, you know, sometimes we might belong in one place and then we either choose to or have to move somewhere else. Sometimes we might belong with a certain group of friends and we either and something changes and then that we don't belong there anymore. Or, you know, you guys, you younger guys, you might be at college and belong at college, and then now college is finished, and now where am I going to belong next? I belong at university and life. You know, or you guys who are recently retired or heading towards retirement, but you belong at your work, or you belong and then you don't belong there anymore. So our belonging needs to hang off more than our circumstances and where we are. So let's bring us back to the prodigal son story. Now, I'm not going to read it out to you again, because Bex read that really beautifully from the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is always amazing. But this verse is such a powerful verse, isn't it? Luke 15, verse 20. So he, that's the prodigal son, got up from the pigs and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Isn't that the most beautiful verse? That all the son had to choose to do was to get up and turn around and head in the direction of home. All we have to do when we mess up, whether we've messed up hugely and it feels like we're in such a muddled mess that there's no going back, or whether it's our everyday things where we've messed up, oh, not again, I've messed up again, and you find yourself having to be the prodigal son again and picking yourself up and going back to God. And sometimes you might think, well, what's God going to say if I'm doing it again? Is he still going to be looking for me? Is he still going to be running towards me? Or is he now annoyed because I've done it again? Every time God is there with his arms outstretched, running towards me, running towards you. And if you feel at the moment like you're in that pigsty, and that everything that's happened that you might have chosen or not chosen around you has left you feeling that loss, that loneliness, that painful place that you don't belong. You don't belong there. You don't belong in that mess. You don't belong with the pigs. That's not where you belong. You belong with the Father, at home with him. And all we have to do is pick ourselves up, turn around, and walk towards the Father, and he runs towards us. Now, it's great that it's a prodigal son story, isn't it? Because I get the chance for the third time on a Sunday to show you the prodigal son statue. It was just a few weeks ago I showed it to you. And Joe Peachy introduced me and said, there's a prodigal daughter one too. So I've added the prodigal daughter one because I found it. This image, these images, as I spoke about a few weeks ago, are so powerful. And just spend 10 seconds, just let's just look at them. Because that's home. That's home. Sons, that's home, daughters. That's home. That's where you belong. That's where you belong. In his arms, in his embrace. Psychology tells us we have an inner need for intimate connection. What's that? Intimate, does it get more intimate than that closeness with God when he just wraps his arms around you, picks you up and says, I love you. It's all right. You're home. You're home. You belong. You don't have to pretend anymore. You can be yourself here in my arms. You don't have to look a certain way or think a certain way or act a certain way or be a certain way. All the Father requires of you is that you let him pick you up and he let him hold you. We need to be seen. We need to be heard and we need to be understood. That's a human needs that we have, to feel like we belong. Those three things. In God's loving arms, we are seen, we are heard, and he understands us better than we understand ourselves. And he helps us understand ourselves. He helps us in this place of security. He helps us find out more about ourselves. He comes into those places that have caused us pain and hurt and that we've closed off and hidden. He comes into those places and he meets us in those places and helps us to find healing, because sometimes we don't feel like we belong. You know, it's a big church here at Aaron. If I was to, I'm not going to ask you, but if I was to ask you to put your hands up if you feel like you belong, I don't know, 60% people might say they do, 40% might be not, you know, unsure. Because sometimes belonging, yes, as a church we can do, we have to and we should, and it's absolutely important that we welcome every single person here with open arms. But you know, the reality is, in church we're all a bit broken. Every single one of us is a bit broken, and every single one of us gets it right sometimes and gets it wrong sometimes. But God never gets it wrong. God's never too busy, too tired, dealing with his own stuff, a bit messed up, or have to have a conversation over there. So you can't, we can't be we can't need everyone else to be perfect towards us always before we feel like we belong, or we'll never feel like we can belong. We have to know that in that place of safety he loves us, and try our best, people, to love wholeheartedly, completely, with our arms open wide. Let church be a place where people can show up and be themselves, where we don't put expectations on people, where we don't tell them they have to look a certain way, act a certain way, think a certain way, but we accept them for who God has made them. And you know what? Maybe we help them find out who God made them to be, help them find their God-given identity as child of God, as beloved, as precious, as valuable, as worth something. Let's help one another on that journey and help each other to belong and help, you know, we all are on this journey. And it all comes out of this need for an intimate connection with, and God gives us that. Henry Nouwen writes, he's got an amazing book called Home Tonight, which is all about the prodigal son story. And this is just a beautiful, I mean, I could just basically have written out the whole book, but it would take too long. This one quote I just loved. To return home is to turn from these illusions, from dissipation, and from our desperate attempts to live up to others' expectations. So here he's talking not only about the prodigal son, he's talking about the older brother too. So living up to others' expectations, he's talking about the older brother in this story. And dissipation is that separation that prodigal son has put in place. He's separated himself from the father. So that's what he's talking about. We are not what we do. Can you repeat that after me? We are not what we do. Next line. We are not what we have. We are not what others think of us. This is just beautiful. Coming home is claiming the truth. You are the beloved child of a loving creator. We no longer have to to beg for permission from the world to exist. Because I am the loved child of a loving creator. So in the psychology of all, it talks about the importance. Brené Brown talks about the opposite of belonging. She said, isn't just loneliness, although that is a big thing and a real thing. She says the opposite of true belonging is fitting in, pretending like we have to be something that we're not. Because do you truly belong if you kind of enter a room and you feel like you can't be yourself? You feel like you've got to be a certain way. You might, to a certain extent, feel like you belong, but that's not true belonging. True belonging is we can come show up as we are to be who God created us to be that. And loneliness also can get in the way. We know that. Isolation, whether it's we literally are isolated and on our own, or whether that's we're in a room full of people here, but you feel incredibly isolated inside. You know, that gets in the way of us feeling like we belong. But God can heal those places. God can heal those hurts that He knows about. Those things that have happened to you over the years, or choices that you've made over the years that have got in the way of you really knowing your identity. And sometimes those are the things that show up in our relationships, and they don't help us in relationships. Sometimes those things can show up in a relationship and kind of mess it up a bit sometimes ourselves because of that stuff. But God can come into those places and bring healing. But at church, isn't it amazing if we can be a church who accepts each other for who we are, who helps each other find out who we are in God, who loves each other, whether we're similar or whether we're really, really different. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could do that? And then this brings us back to Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, talks about the body of Christ. And this, in a way, is another talk itself. But I thought it was a really important thing to talk about this morning, because I might be saying this, and some of it you'll be taking in, and some of it you might be thinking, yeah, but not really me. I don't really fit. I'm not really, you know, they don't really want me, or nobody sees me, nobody knows me, nobody really accepts me. If you feel that way, we've all felt like that sometimes. Even those of us who come up here and do things sometimes feel that way a little bit. Does anyone really see me? Sometimes we can all feel that way. But we need you. I felt like, you know, we should have that big, you know, wartime poster. We need you, with the hand pointing out. Your country needs you. This church needs you. We need you. We need you. We need each other. Every single one of you. I don't want any of you to be sitting there discounting yourself from the fact that you've got a part to play, that you being here matters, that you sitting on this chair or on the carpet or standing at the back, that you being here matters. And without you being here, it's not the same. It's not the same. The passage I'm about to read talks about the body and you know, the impact of different parts of the body and how important it all is. We know that if you lose a toe, then your balance is a bit off. So as a church, if we don't have one person or two people there who you might not really even notice that much, because it's only a little toe. But when they're not here, the balance, church is a little bit off balance. We're not quite as strong as we could be. We're not quite as healthy as we could be, because each one of you is needed. So I'm going to start to read this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. I love this bit. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, I don't know if it's just you, me, but I picture a big eye at that point. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, where our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you as a part of it. So we don't need everybody here to be doing what I do. We don't need everybody here to be doing what Josh does. We don't need everybody here to be doing what Si does at the back. We don't need that. We need you to show up and be you. We need you to show up and be who God made you to be. And we celebrate. Wouldn't it be great if we celebrated each other for being ourselves? Because every single person here is needed. Every single one. Don't discount yourself from what God can do with you, because you are needed, and you are every bit as valuable as someone standing on the stage here. Every bit as valuable. Every bit. And this, whether you choose to make Aaron your home church, we belong in the body of Christ. So what I would love is that we're all plugged into a church that we can serve in and be in and be ourselves in and have community in and build relationship in and walk together, the family of God. Like I said about the body, if one part suffers, the body suffers. If one part is honoured, the other parts rejoice with it. It's what we talked about last week, about being with each other and walking with each other in pain and in joy, because God walks with us in our pain and God walks with us in our joy. And belonging, that place that we belong, is in the embrace and the loving arms of God. And when we can be secure in our identity, in the home that is in his arms, our arms can be open too, and we can run towards those people coming. Come back, welcome home, welcome home, welcome, welcome home. Come, sit, let's eat together, let's party together, let's walk together. And we can all belong, because you all have a place here. And if you haven't felt that, I'm sorry. It's a horrible way to feel. It can be lonely and it's painful to feel like you don't fit. But you feeling like you don't fit doesn't mean you have to be a certain way. You know, maybe find someone next to you and say, I don't feel like I belong. And allow God into that place. And maybe he'll show you where the root of that is. Because it might be that somebody here we've not done the thing that we could have done or should have done. But it might be that that root is something that God wants to come in and meet you in. And in that loving embrace, he'll so kindly come and meet you in that place. Okay, with the band, do you want to come up? And we'll just finish in a second. So as I said, we're all born with a need for intimate connection. We're all born with that need. And the best place to find that, yes, we can find that in friendships sometimes and in relationships sometimes, but every single relationship we have will look so much healthier and so much more beautiful if we start from the arms of God. If that's our starting place, that unconditional love that accepts, that loves, the Father's embrace. Here we find our identity. We find love and we find true belonging. And that need for a place to belong, when we realize we belong with God, we can belong anywhere he asks us to go. Because our home isn't a place, isn't a house. Home is that embrace in God's arms. That is home. So he might ask you tomorrow to move to the other side of the world. Are you far from home? In one sense, yes. In another sense, if he's with you, no, you've got home with you. You carry that in you. You carry that with you. And whatever group or situation or friendship or relationship or place, other place you feel like you belong, if you come to that place with God with you, that's where the true belonging is. That's where it is. And our relationship with others. We're the body of Christ. We need each other. We need you, each and every single one of you, from the littlest tiny baby to the oldest one of us, and every single one of us in between, the one with the loudest voice, the one with the quietest voice, the logical one, the crazy one, the one who's silly and likes to mess around, the one who likes to go deep and get serious, the one who's intellectual and, you know, has a PhD, the one who struggled with maths at primary school and hasn't got further than that. You're all needed. You're all welcome. And God loves you, and let's find our home with him. Okay, let's pray. Do you want to stand to your feet? Jesus, thank you that you told this story to us about the prodigal son, because you wanted to illustrate something incredible to us. Jesus, you knew that you belonged with your father. You knew that you were loved. You knew that intimate embrace with him. You knew that connection. You walked in that. You knew that you belonged to him. And you gave yourself for us so that we could step into that relationship. I pray that our heart's home would be found with you, God. That you would be our place of safety, of refuge, of peace, of sanctuary, of unconditional love and acceptance. I pray that as a church you would help us to love well, to love with open arms, to invite people into our homes and into our lives, to share life together, to accept and love one another. But God, ultimately, we just want to find our home with you. So I pray for those who haven't felt that yet. I pray, God, that you would give them deep within that feeling of love and safety and security. I pray that you'd come into those places we've closed. I pray that you'd come into our bitterness and resentment. And I pray that if we feel like we've never belonged this morning, we would know where we belong. It's with you. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you run towards us with open arms. Always. Always.